my off there. So for the last, this is our third installment. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And Roy and Deb, it's good to have you guys home. Can I just say that when I was seeing your pictures on Facebook, I wasn't jealous at all. Well, maybe just a little bit. I had a good time. It's good to have you all here today. This morning, we've been talking about that whether you believe it or not, the Bible makes it very, very clear that we are in a spiritual battle, okay? There's no Switzerland. There's no neutrality. You don't get to tap out. You don't retire from this. From the point of conversion to the point of either the return of Christ or our rapture, we are in a fight. Every day. Now, we're not supposed to freak out about it. We're just to need to be aware of it. We also are looking at this truth that Old Testament stories gives us New Testament principles of how to war and how the enemy works. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, we are not to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11 says that we are to stand against his schemes. The word scheme is method. He has a methodology of how he works. He's not creative. It's this method that works all the time, unless we are alert, aware, and take our stance in how God wants us to fight. Our commander, Jesus, teaches us how to fight. We never have to lose a battle ever again as we align ourselves with the purposes and how Jesus Christ teaches us how to war. We looked at David, just quick review. We looked at David in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that as he's fighting the armies of the Philistines, he became exhausted. And that word primarily used in the Old Testament means to fly away. That when you're tired, physically, emotionally, mentally, when you're tired, there is this desire to escape. There's this desire, if I can get away, if I can just get out of here, if I can just, you know, and that's what David said in Psalm chapter 55. He journals a battle with someone who is his closest friend who betrays him. And in Psalm 55, he said emotionally, mentally, physically, he was a mess. And so he says, if I could only take the wings of a dove and fly away. That's that word, exhaustion, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said, I would go to the desert. I would get away from my problems. But David continues to journal and he realizes that flying away is not the issue. Escaping is not the issue. The issue is, and this is what we talked about last week, we got to learn how to stand. Because the Bible tells us over and over again, in confrontation with our enemy, not to flee, but to stand. Stand firm in faith. Stand firm in confidence. We are to stand. And so David, we've seen now, David was standing. He becomes exhausted. And here's the other part we dealt with last week, that as David's standing, he's exhausted. The shield's coming down. The sword's coming down. That Abishai, who is his nephew, says to David, are you okay? Are you okay? And David is going to lose, because when you're exhausted is when the giant comes out. Ishbi-Benob comes out when David's exhausted. And scripture indicates that he waited until this opportune time when David was vulnerable. And then the giant comes out breathing threats. I'm going to kill David. And Abishai, who is David's nephew, stands in front of David, takes on a giant and kills the giant for David. That, dear ones, we don't just go to church to attend and face one direction and just see people. We are to be building loving relationships that when we don't have it, that when we feel exhausted and we want to get away and we can make bad decisions, bad choices, that we are in so connected in relationship that we've got people who say, I'm standing with you right now, bro. You are not by yourself in this fight. And we looked at quickly at 1 Samuel chapter 14, where Jonathan, going back in time, is the son of Saul. And Jonathan, the Philistines are invading Israel again. And Jonathan says, I'm done with this. He goes and he says to his armor bearer, let's go to see what God's going to do. God can deliver through many or a few. And here's the key. It's verse 7. The armor bearer said to Jonathan, he says, I'm with you heart and soul. My heart's with you. I'm with you, buddy. And Jonathan makes this just an awful, awful battle strategy. He says, we'll show ourselves to the Philistines. And if they say we're coming to you, then we're going to be killed or captured. But if they say come up here, that means God's going to win the battle. So the Philistines say, come up here. And Jonathan goes, we won. And they haven't even fought anything. And they climb up and God wins a great victory through two people who begins to defeat an army. So dear ones, unity, and our New Testament principle is John chapter 17, where Jesus said, Father, let them be one as we are one. And it's also in Matthew 18, where two or three come into agreement, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three agree is touching anything, it shall be done. It's this power of harmony, this power of coming together. And the enemy of our souls hates it when the people of God come together in unity and harmony. But that's where our power is. Now, one last thing I want to add to actually our first week's teaching. So what we know is one of the tactics of our enemy is exhaustion. Another tactic is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, when Peter says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition. No, pause. That's Philippians 4. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. Cast all anxiety. One of the issues I want to address briefly, but very intently, is anxiety. That if you're a worrier and say, well, that's just who I am, that's not the truth. The truth is you're his child. The truth is that you have been granted peace through Jesus Christ. So why I want to pause on this for just a moment is this. Jesus three times records Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He records the story of the sower of the seed. And in that parable, he says a sower throws the seed. And for time, I'm just going to deal with one aspect of it. That the sower of the seed, and he said, when the seed, which is the word of God, is sown among weeds or thistles. Here's what Jesus says. He says that the word that is sown among weeds, it gets choked and it bears no fruit. Now think about this with me for a moment. Psalm 138:2, the psalmist says, God has exalted his word and his name above all things. That the word of God carries the DNA of God in that. And in the DNA of God, there is the power of transformational change that takes place in the DNA of God's word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Son is the exact representation of his being. And he is the exact representation of his being, and he's also the Son is
crud.
Sustaining, right, thank you, all things by his powerful word. That God's word sustains the universe. God's word has the power to make sure that the universe stays in place. Think about this. If we, the word of God that has all this power can be reduced to nothing if it's sown among weeds. What are the weeds? Jesus described it this way. He said, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, and the worries of life. That the word of God that God has raised up above everything else can be unfruitful, unproductive, and actually barren in our hearts if we don't deal with a soil that's about the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, or the worries of life. So what does Jesus tell us to do? In Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom. We are to be singular of focus, and his righteousness and everything will be added unto him. What Jesus tells us in what Peter says is to cast all your cares on God because he cares for you. How do we get singular of focus? Number one, if desires, the deceitfulness of wealth, if you think wealth, money is what you need, that is always going to deceive you. Secondly, if you have a heart's desire other than God himself. Or third, if you're carrying anxiety, worry, stress, fear of the future, we are to get rid of that because even now, the sower of the seed, the sowing of God's word will become unfruitful unless it falls upon a heart that's ready to receive it. So what do? We confess and we repent. In fact, we're going to do that. It's not my preaching. It's not how well I communicate. That's not it. That doesn't change you. What changes us is the word of God. Somebody say amen to that. His word, whether you're reading it, you're listening to it, someone's preaching to you, his word is what transforms us. The key is what kind of soil do we have? So before we go anywhere any further, we're going to pause and we're going to say, Lord, we don't want to just waste our time hearing the message, hearing the word, if the soil's not ready. So let's prep our soil. Let's make sure the deceitfulness of wealth, where wealth keeps calling to you saying, all you need is more money. All you need is more money. Or the desires of everything, that we are not seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, but we're seeking other things first. Or the worries of life. What is the future going to hold? Am I going to have enough money in retirement? Or on and on and on and on. Let's just go ahead, confess that, repent, which means to turn away, change your mind, and let's let our hearts be ready not to hear Mike, but hear the word. So Father, we pause for a moment. And Lord, we just confess right now that if wealth is beginning to take, the deceitfulness of wealth is beginning to occupy too much of our heart. We confess it and we repent right now. Lord, if desires for other things, thinking that if we just had this or just had that, then our hearts would be fulfilled. Lord, we confess that right now. Life is found in your word. And Lord, if we are worried, that word, Lord, is to fracture into parts where one day we know you're going to do something and then we're not sure. And we got a confidence, then we lack confidence. When our souls are fractured because of worry, Lord, in Jesus' name, we confess that right now and we repent. And let your word fall on good soil that produces 30, 60, 100-fold harvest in our lives. God, no longer do we want to hear your word and not be transformed by it. No longer do we want to hear a message or read a scripture, but it has no impact in our everyday. Lord, our hearts are ready right now to let the DNA of your word, DNA of God, just settle in our heart where we see transformative work happen because of the power of your word. And we receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen. I hear my friend Jerry telling me right now, slow down. So I'm slowing down. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I hear my wife saying, Mike, slow down. I'm slowing down. Thank you. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This is going to lead us into our topic. Ephesians chapter 6. You guys ready to receive the word? Come on, say yes and amen right now. Yes, amen. Let's do it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's methods, his schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of this, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Verse 14, and then we're going to go to verse 17, because I'm not going to go through all the armor. I'm just going to deal with one part of it, one aspect of it. Verse 14, stand firm. Say those two words with me, would you? Stand firm. Say it again, would you? Stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Go with me to verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Which is the word of God. There's two things we're going to deal with, first of all, as we're getting into our study. When Paul says, put on the armor of God, basically what he's telling us is our relationship with Jesus. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, clothe yourself with Christ and don't even think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Colossians 3 says, and clothe yourselves with humility. It's like when you came this morning, and I want to say thank you for it. For you to come this morning, you just didn't show up out of bed. You had to intentionally clothe yourselves for a purpose. What was your purpose? To come to church. So what did you do? You dressed appropriately. You clothed yourselves. When Paul says to put on the armor of God, and I've done this before and I don't have a problem with it. It's not like, Lord, I put on the helmet, I put on this. It's your relationship with Jesus, that as you build relationship with Jesus, you know that he is your righteousness. He is your peace. So this is something that you and I, in our personal relationship, we wear Jesus, that we are in relationship with Jesus. The second thing that is important as we look at this verse, that the Roman legions, though it was, they would clothe themselves individually, they never fought by themselves. That the reason that they won battle after battle was their battle techniques. And they would stand shield to shield, sword to sword, so that even though an army that was greater than them would come against them, they would not break ranks and start fighting in isolation. They would join themselves together, and as the horde would come and hit the shield, they would stand, and then they would move forward, and they would stand, and they'd move forward, and they'd stand, and they'd move forward. So when we read about this in Ephesians chapter 6, don't think that this is just an isolated soldier by himself, but these are soldiers who prepared themselves to be able to fight with others. There were cohorts. They were comrades. So when we fight, we don't fight individually. We fight together. But all of us have the responsibility in our relationship with Jesus. In chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, therefore, stand with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. So what is the belt of truth? We're going to let scripture interpret scripture. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays this prayer. He says in 17:17, he says to his father, sanctify them by your truth. Same word here, belt of truth. Sanctify them by your truth. And here's what he says, your word is truth. So when we understand, when Paul says to buckle the belt of truth around you, what he's talking about is the word. He's talking about the word of God. That the soldier, the belt would carry, was an important instrument on the soldier's body. The belt kept the legs free. The belt, they would make a notch and the breastplate would sit inside the belt so that when the soldier moved, he didn't move one way and his breastplate moved another way. It was a unit where he would move together and it was fashioned inside the word. But the most important element of the belt was that it carried the sword. So when Paul says, stand firm with the belt of truth, and Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. It's interesting that what Jesus used for that prayer, he says, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. That word for word is L-O-G-O-S, logos. So when we are sanctified by the Logos, and what Logos means is this, it means a stream of thought. It means the whole of a revelation. It's like when you read a book, doesn't have to be the Bible, and you begin to understand where the author is going, and you begin to reason and get, okay, now I see what's happening, and he paints this picture, and there's a story from beginning to end. That is the Logos of a story. What we have is the Logos of God's word, that this is God's stream of thought. This is God's revelation from beginning to the end. This is where God says, I'm going to show you what I'm like. I'm going to show you how I think. I'm going to show you what's important to me. I want to show you how to live. And so he has given us the Logos. But when Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that word is a different word than Logos. And that word is Rhema. And Rhema is a portion of the whole. It's like if you read the story, and as you're reading the story, and there's a quote in that story, you go, oh man, I got to remember that quote, because that quote really resonates within me. For you and I to be able to fight, we've got to put on the Logos so that Holy Spirit can make it into a Rhema. Now, don't let your kids get anywhere near this morning, but I brought me a Rhema. This is a gladius. It's a mock of what the Roman soldiers used. When I was, one of the last gifts our men's ministry gave me in Vegas was Spiritus Gladius. It's when the Holy Spirit takes the word, the Logos, and makes it a Rhema. And we're going to show how Jesus did it in just a moment. But sitting on the belt was the Rhema, was the Rhema, okay? Was the sword. And what we see in battle is this, that when a Roman soldier had this, if he didn't have the belt, he didn't have a sword. But when it was resting on the belt, he was able to do battle. And this is really sharp. It's really sharp, so no one mess with this. Never mind. It's another story. This sword was key to their victory. They didn't fight with their belt, but without the belt, you don't have a sword. And where we're going with, when Paul's talking about put on the belt of truth, take up the sword of the Spirit, we're going to see how Jesus defeated an enemy in battle by this very thing. And we got to understand this, that when a Roman soldier went to battle, when the Roman soldier joined the army, they didn't say, here's your outfit, here's your sword, go at it. Good time. They had to train. They had to prepare. They had to get stronger. They had to use that sword together. That when Paul says, and take up the sword of the Spirit, when Paul says, put on the belt of truth, dear friends, for us to win the battle, listen, for us to win the battle just doesn't happen because we're God's kids. We have got to train and be prepared with a belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit to defeat our enemy. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Without a sword and without a belt, ooh, I can be very careful. I don't want to go blood, blood, blood. Without this, you and I cannot stand against an enemy. Let me prove it to you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, whose perfect theology, shows us not just how he lived, but showed us how we are to live. So in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, well, let me go back. The last thing that happens in Matthew chapter 3 is Jesus is baptized in water. He comes up out of the water, beautiful picture of the Trinity. Holy Spirit rests on his shoulder like a dove, and the Father says from heaven, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Immediately after that experience, he is driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and for 40 days, he fasts day and night. And the Bible says in Matthew 4 verse 2 that Jesus is hungry. After 40 days, he's at his vulnerable point. After 40 days, he's hungry, he's alone, he's isolated, he's by himself, and it's at that point the enemy attacked. Now in 4, and there's so much I can go into that, but just for time, he says this. It says this in Matthew chapter 4 verse 3. It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So the last thing that Jesus heard was, you are my child, I love you, with you I'm well pleased. The first thing that the enemy says is, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That's the attack. It's right here. It's in the mind. It is to get Jesus off the Father's plan and purpose for his life. So this tempter came and tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. And look what Jesus said. Would you say that out loud with me? Verse 4, Jesus answered, it. Okay, pause there. Why didn't Jesus say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because that was written. Why didn't Jesus say, David danced with all of his might before the Lord? Because that was written. Why didn't Jesus say, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God? That was written. Jesus takes a verse from the Logos, the belt of truth, that is specific to the attack of the enemy, the Rhema. That Jesus says, it is written. He takes from how he memorized the word of God, the Logos, so that when the attack came, Jesus pulls out the rhema and says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Bam, sword away. You see, dear ones, Jesus, as you look at his life, probably had as a rabbi all of the Old Testament memorized, so that when he spoke, he had in his heart the belt of truth, so that when the attack came, the Holy Spirit can take the verse that is needed for the attack and make it into a sword. How did he do that? Through declaration. How do we do that? Through prayer. We do it the same way, where we speak, where God takes the Logos, the belt of truth, and the Holy Spirit can take it and make it a rhema. Now, here's the issue I have. I wrestled with when I was younger. We used to have something called sword drills when I was a kid in youth group. And a sword drill is somebody, anytime could yell sword drill, and they'd point to you and you'd have to quote a verse. Me being the great student I was at that time, I memorized John 11:35. And John 11:35 says this, Jesus wept, okay? That's all I memorized, Jesus wept. So here comes the enemy of my soul attacking. And I do this, aha, Jesus wept, right? That the only verses I had nothing to do with the attack that was coming my way. So the question would be, which instrument do you want to fight with? Which instrument is going to become rhema? Which instrument will the Holy Spirit be able to withdraw from the Logos, the belt of truth, that truth that Jesus has in his word? What weapon is he going to be able to pull out? It all depends on, do you put on the belt of truth? For you and I to stand against an enemy, we've got to have the belt of truth that is big enough to fight our enemy, so that the Holy Spirit can take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, and say, it is written. I told our kids, we had them over from dinner on a Monday night, and I told our kids, I said, Google's making me dumb, because I don't have to remember anything anymore. All I have to do is Google it. It's like, who so-and-so did that? Oh, just Google it. But you know what, dear family? We can't do that with the word of God. You see, when the day of evil comes and we're to stand, the enemy is not saying, well, just give me, I'll give you a few moments to Google that and we'll get at it. Or Jesus, I say this humorously, Jesus didn't say, Satan, could you wait a minute? I got to go back to the scrolls in the temple, and I think it's in Deuteronomy somewhere, and I'll try to pull that out and I'll get back to you. Or have you ever seen someone who knows how to fence? Have you seen those movies, like they do all this? And have you ever seen the people who don't? They go like this, right? And it's like somewhere in the Bible it says that Jesus said that I was one time, I'm okay. And the enemy's going, please, because it's not fighting like this. It's this. It is written. It's written that the fight has to be, the victory is not based on Jesus. The victory is, do we have a belt of truth by we can have a sword of the Spirit? That's where the victory falls. And I'm really concerned. I hope you're not offended by this, how ignorant the people of God are of the word. Please don't hear condemnation. Please don't hear guilt. And of all you know right now is, you know, turn these stones into bread. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who will... Okay, if that's what you start with, don't end there. I am right now, that's why I am trying to download more and more and more of the word of God through memorization. Why? Because I want my belt to be like a WWE belt. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to take this belt that's so big, and when the enemy comes, it's just like, shaw, pow. And notice what happens when Jesus quotes the word. The enemy doesn't do this. Well, would you like to take a pebble and turn it into a donut hole? You know, there's no argument. It's done. Man shall not live on bread alone, but the word of mouth, everywhere that comes from the mouth of God. And the enemy doesn't argue. Bam. Why? Because Colossians says that Jesus has disarmed all the powers of darkness. He doesn't have a weapon. Pow. Am I more excited than y'all are about this right now? Or are you afraid because I got a sword in my hand? I'm trying to keep a distance. I won't cut anything off of importance, like an ear, you know, so just heal it for me. We've got to put on the belt so that Holy Spirit can make it into a sword. If we can't be ignorant about the word of God, we can't. We can't be a people who don't know what God's word says. Because in 1 Peter 5, when their devil roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, that idea is like a private investigator. And that private investigator, he watches how you operate, and he watches what your strengths and your weaknesses, and he sets up a battle plan just for you. And if you and I don't have this to go, ah, I see you, pow, no. Depression, nope. Anger, nope. Fear, nope. I see you, because we're not ignorant of his schemes. As we talked about later, another battle took place. Then the devil took Jesus up to a mountain, a holy city, and stand on the highest point of the temple. And if you're the Son of God, verse 6, if you're the Son of God, he said to him, throw yourself down. And then he goes, for it is written. He's quoting the Bible. It's like, bro, stay in your lane. The word is our lane. But so we got to understand something. The enemy can quote scripture to you. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in your hands and so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So what is written? Listen, especially being raised in church. When the word of God becomes a weapon against you, that's not the Holy Spirit wielding it. God would never take his word and stab you with it. I was raised in a holiness church. Holiness was on behaviors. And every time I mucked up, there would be this verse saying, be ye holy, for God is holy, and you're not. That was not God convicting me of sin. That was the enemy using the weapon of the word to try to make me feel lesser than, to try to make me feel ashamed, to try to make me feel with regret. All these things that the Holy Spirit will never do in our lives. The enemy will take enough of scripture, just enough to make you feel lesser than. I believe that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, but you know what that conviction does? It draws me closer to God. But when you feel the word of God is condemning you or accusing you, carry that and go like Jesus did. It is also written. What does he say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Sheep. And now the enemy gets to his real plan for Jesus's life and for our life. He says this, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. That just blows my mind that he could do that. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Didn't show him the brokenness, didn't show him the world, didn't show him the sick, didn't show him the dying. He showed him all the splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Here's the bottom line. Our enemy wants us to bow down and worship someone other than Jesus. And I don't think anybody in this room would do anything. And I'm not going to even go there. A cultic practice. I don't think anybody in this room would do anything cultic. But if we put anything else before the Father, if the priority of any other relationship, any other thing in our lives is in the Father, that's what our enemy wants us to do. How do I know that? Because Jesus, once again, pulls out from the Logos, it is written, he says, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That God says he alone is worthy of our complete devotion. He alone is worthy of our fullness of worship. He alone is worthy. And when the enemy wants us to let a priority, let someone else, let something else come in that way. No. I pull out the sword and I quote James chapter 4 that says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil and he will flee. The enemy left Jesus and notice there was no rebuttal. Notice that in any of these things, there was no rebuttal. Why? Because Jesus had it. It is written on his tongue. And now his mouth, his vocal cords, his tongue and his lips became a sword of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit took and drove it into the enemy so that the enemy had no recourse because the power of the word of God. It is our responsibility to have the Logos belt around us. It is the Holy Spirit's job to remind us to, at the time of attack, to say, it is written, so that we don't back up, we don't fail, we don't lose, we don't back away, but we stand firm. Our military, when you join the military, they just don't throw you a rifle and say, go at it. They teach you how to carry that weapon. They teach you how to make sure that weapon is used properly. That weapon, they train you. You have to pass. You got to fire that weapon enough times where they know you're proficient at it. This weapon, right? They don't just say, go fight somebody. They give you a weapon and they teach you how to use that weapon. This is what Paul is trying to get to us, guys. That just because you're a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't mean you're ready to battle yet. Oh, you've got the power of God in you. Yeah, you've got the authority of God and you do. But the ignorance is if you're the Son of God, if you're this, if you're that, we can get knocked off balance so easily just by a question. If God was so great, then why did your wife die? If God was so awesome, then why did your child? If God was so awesome, then why did you lose that job? And we get off balance. Now we're worried. Now we're anxious. And then the enemy, like a roaring lion, rah! When the Bible says, put on that belt of truth. Put that word of God in your heart. Put it in there, man, so that when the day of evil comes, the enemy says, hey, is it? Matthew tells me that I am beloved of my God and I am his son and he loves me. Pow. Sword drill. How big is your belt? How much of the truth can Holy Spirit pull out of you so that when the enemy attacks, you go, boom. Ah, boom. Are we going, pew? This is our responsibility if we're going to fight and win this battle. Mike, I thought you said that we battle from victory, right? We do. The enemy has already been disarmed. This is how we enforce. And what I love about Jesus's quote, it wasn't, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, it wasn't like a warfare word. It was, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Because the attack wasn't where Jesus needed to have let God arise. The attack was, turn the stones into bread. I don't live by that, but I live by the word. How you doing, gang, with your belt? How's your belt? If you leave here feeling condemned, if you feel like Mike's making fun of me, stop it right now. That's not what this is about. This is my challenge. This is the way we're going to learn next week, Lord willing, another weapon we have given by God. But this is a weapon that the enemy has no defense against. And this is how we stand. Know the word. Know what it says. Be able to quote it. Be able to declare it. And if you don't, see, I'm getting back to just, I'm reading a real Bible. And if you have a tablet and a phone, God bless you. But for me, there's some times where a word, I go, man, I know it's on the left-hand side at the top. And I'll go, oh, there it is. And then I begin to quote that word. And then I begin to declare that word. And then I get a, oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is. And I begin to speak that word of God, because Paul says, praying on all occasions, pray in the Spirit. That's how we activate the sword. When the Holy Spirit brings a word to our lives, we begin to declare it. We begin to speak it. And now our tongue becomes a sword. Now our vocal cords become a sword. Where does it come from? The belt of truth. So grandparents, parents, teach your kids now. Start now. If you have this, praise God, start with that. But become this. Start now. Start downloading the word of God. Know yourself that if you have an area with anger, if you have an area of depression, if you have an area that's very specific that you pray and you don't seem to get the victory, well then start memorizing scripture in the area where you're not winning. That just makes sense. So for me as a young man, here's what I was very sarcastic because I was raised with a lot of anger. I wasn't big enough to hurt anybody, so I would use my tongue to take people apart, and I would use it in humor. You know the story. I'm in a chapel. I'm a youth pastor, and I just the night before had just ripped somebody apart, and it was hilarious, but they left feeling like about that big. And you know what? When you're a pastor and you rip people apart, you are not going to last very long in ministry, because that's not our job. Ephesians 3:29 says, only speak what edifies those who hear. I wasn't doing that. And so I got to get more disciplined. I got to get strong. I got to get better. And I'm walking into chapel by myself in Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Wow, something changed. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Verse 11 answers that. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So here it is. Instead of me going, be disciplined, Mike, don't say it, bite your cheek, don't do it, never work. When I'm tired, when I'm feeling like I'm being overwhelmed, fear, man, my tongue would just go off and I would just start machine gunning people, and it'd be hilarious except for the person who's being shot. It was awful. May the words of my mouth, I wrote a song to it, meditations of my heart be pleasing, O Lord, in your sight. And I began to build a sword so that when the thoughts come, man, this would be really funny. It might hurt him a little bit, but it's going to be really funny. But the Holy Spirit on my little belt would say, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, instead of saying the sarcasm, the word became no. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Where are you vulnerable? Mine was anger. I was a really nice, angry person until you got my sword of sarcasm. I think Deb could attest to this, right, baby? Notice that she didn't say yes. She's a good wife. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, and pray on all occasions in the Spirit with this in mind, keep praying for all the saints, that this weapon cannot be beat. But that's our job. That's our role. We got to build the belt. I'm done. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody know Jerry Polosky? Right over there. Sure, buddy. Yeah. Come on. Come on, say amen to that. Amen. I believe it, sir. What is your name? Father, we bless Neil right now in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. In Jesus, we receive that is a confirmation of what we have been hearing over and over again. Lord, you don't keep talking just to hear yourself talk. You say these things to bring faith and confidence in what you're doing, and we receive that rhema word right now in Jesus' name. Would you say, everyone, say amen to that? Amen. 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 Thank you, Neil. Would you stand with me? Last Wednesday night, we had a man who's in search of God. He's in discovery. And as we were starting service, he looked like he was in our group meeting, small group meeting. He looked like he was in pain. So we said, how are you doing? He goes, my back hurts. Who was there Wednesday night? Who's there, right? His back hurts. And so he said, can we pray for you? And he said, sure. And we asked, how long has his back been in pain? He goes, since he was 16. And he's probably, guys, late 50s, early 60s, maybe? Mid to late 60s. So we just gathered around him and we prayed and we asked how he's doing. And I think, Jerry, you asked, how is he feeling? And he said, well, the pain is at about a 2. We prayed again and all the pain went away. And, well, let's praise God. Let's praise God for that. Let's do that. Lord, we give you blessing. We praise you, Lord. And he said, I'm about to cry. And we said, go, do it, man. Dennis, you were there, right? Go ahead, let it cry. And Jesus healed a man who was an invalid for 38 years. There was a blind man who was healed after 40 years. And I'm looking at sickness as, wait a sec, I got to pull out this sword because my Father has paid, through his Son, has paid the price for healing. And before we go, I want to take a moment. If you have back pain, if you're struggling with back pain, or there's something that physically is exhausting you, I want us to pull out the sword and say, no. In the name of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, we are made well. These aren't our words. Those are his words. They are written down for us for the Holy Spirit to use as a rhema. So anybody who's has back pain, people together around, keep your hands raised. I want family to go around. That's you too, Roz, you guys, come on here. Everybody, Shelly, would you? Dave, come on up, bro. Ava, we got Raymond and Michelle here. Come on, Steve. We got more people who need healing, I think, than Vika, find somebody. We got everyone. I want everybody's got somebody standing with them because we're believing that by his stripes, we are healed. Those aren't our words. Those are his words. We're letting the Holy Spirit make that into a rhema verse for us right now. Right now. Everybody being prayed for? Everybody got someone's hand on their back, just in a place of agreement. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, go ahead and pray right now. Just release, by his stripes, we are healed. Go ahead and declare the rhema. That's logos. That's in Isaiah. But make that a rhema right now. By his stripes, we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. Psalm 103 says, forget not his benefits. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, the woman who had an issue of blood, the woman who was bent over for 18 years and the enemy had kept her there, you rebuked him and that she was made well. We speak to backs right now in Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Come on. Do you feel it? It's starting to build. His confidence is starting to build. Come on, pray a little bit more. His confidence is starting to build that we're not just saying words, but his confidence is arising. It's faith that's arising in our hearts. It's faith that is starting to establish. We also take faith from what Neil told us. Lord, your glory is rising in this place. That is the promise has been over this place for years, God. Years, Father. That promise has been declared, and we receive that. Let your glory, O God, so touch the hearts of people and their bodies in Jesus' name. Matthew 18 says, where two or three agree is touching anything, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. So, Lord, we are touching in agreement. We come into harmony with your purposes and plans in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, how you feeling? Before you go, how you feeling? Is there any change? How are we feeling? Somebody, anybody, any change? Tom, how are you doing? Tom, what was the pain at? Are you feeling better? Is it all the way gone? 80% gone? Okay, let's all, for Tom, Father, in Jesus' name, we're not asking 80%, we're asking 100%, Lord. Because when you healed folks, and this is no pressure, we don't have to perform, we don't have to do anything here, we're just receiving your healing in Jesus' name. Father, your glory resides here, your glory, God. And so for Tom, 100% wellness in Jesus' name. Tom, how is it? How is it now? Okay, Connie, how are you? Connie, you're better. How many just feel a little bit better? Raymond, how are you? A little better? We need Moss here. How are you feeling? 100%. Somebody give God praise. We got 100% right here. We want to celebrate what he's doing. And I don't want to embarrass Elizabeth right now. I don't want to embarrass you. But this week in prayer, I went after cancer. That I felt in my heart, like, God, that mountain of cancer has to come down. That Jesus said, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And Father, for Ken Nelson, in the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer, you are not going to dominate our Lord. You're not going to take all the horizon. Mountain, you're not going to just remove our sight from the glory of God. And in Jesus' name, we pray against that cancer. I don't care where it's at, how long it's been there, or what stage it is. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Lord, your word in Hebrews 4 says it's like a double-edged sword. It's alive and inactive. And it divides between joints and marrow, soul and spirit. Lord, let your word go in like a surgeon's scalpel. Let it begin to cut out that cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. Let that cancer just be cut out of his body. Let the power, your living, active word, God, like a two-edged sword, just go in and cut out that cancer in the Jesus' name. For Mel Crisp, Lord, that you would cut out that cancer in Jesus' name. For the word of God is a living and active. It's alive. Holy Spirit, make it so alive in his body right now in Jesus' name. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that these wonderful family, this wonderful church, my brothers, my sisters, my family, that they would have such a belt of truth around their waist. That God, when that enemy tries to just whisper a question, that the Holy Spirit would just rise within them a verse that would just say, no, that's not the truth. Here's the truth. And we would take it and we would declare that. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He has to flee. And in Jesus' name, that we would take that sword in prayer and we would declare it out loud, just like you did, Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, put a hunger for your word like never before in the hearts and lives of people. Put a desire in their hearts to know your word, because your word is life. In Jesus' name, amen.